Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks again for being here. Those of you watching us online, thank you so much for doing so. Those of you watching us in, I think they told me, South Africa. Those of you watching us in Canada, thanks for hanging out with us. Those of you, probably my mama, watching us in Jamaica, thanks for hanging out with us too there. And all over the country, thank you. It's an honor for you to join us. Hey, One Family, can you give them a round of applause so that they know we welcome you? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. All right, today's one of those days you're going to wish you didn't come to church, but it's okay. God is merciful, all right? So here we go. We're going to read two verses. I promise you that's all you can handle today. It's two verses. We're going to hang out in both of these. We've been in the Beatitudes is where we've been hanging out in, but I promise you today's going to be a little challenging. Why don't you stand with me, everybody, and let's read the word of the Lord together. Two verses. We're going to start here. Say the first word with me. What's this one? Blessed. All right, hold on. Let me remind you of what that means. To be a blessed person is somebody who has internal well-being regardless of external circumstances. Internal well-being regardless of external circumstances. Say that with me twice. If I'm blessed, here's what I am. I have internal well-being regardless of external circumstances. One more time. Everybody together online. Everybody together. Internal well-being regardless of external circumstances. You got it. So here's what he says. This is where we started last week. Blessed are they, say this with me, poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here's what he said. He said, poor in spirit. It's hard when you have more than enough. It's hard when you have more than enough to be poor in spirit. Why? Because then you don't think you need to depend on God. Because then you can go to your bank account and fix a lot of the problems you have, so you don't pray to God. You don't communicate with God. There is no desperation for Jesus every single day of your life. But he says, bless the person who has, what does it mean again? Internal well-being regardless of external circumstances. So that person is blessed because they are poor in spirit. In other words, they are completely dependent upon God. They are bankrupt spiritually and they know it, and so they need Jesus to live this life out. Look at verse 2. That's verse 1. That's a cool verse, but look at verse 2. Here we go. Here we go. Blessed. What does it mean again? Blessed. What does it mean? Internal well-being regardless of external. You got it. All right. You did much better than the second service. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who... All right. That's good. Read the whole thing. Blessed are those who... For they shall be... Interesting. So he says, he's going to comfort those who... Mourn. So then it's important for us to try and discern what this word right here means. What does it mean to mourn? What does it mean to mourn? Let's go back to verse number 3, please. Verse 3 says, poor in spirit. He wasn't talking about financially poor in the physical realm. He's talking about spiritual realm. He says he wants you to be poor in spirit. So let's go back to verse number 4 now, verse number 4. So verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn. He's not talking about those who lost a job or those who lost a loved one. That's not who he's talking about. He's talking about blessed are those who mourn, not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, which means he said, blessed are those who mourn, here we go, their sin. When was the last time you cried over your sin? When was the last time you thought to yourself, man, I'm just jealous. I want what they got. And you, when was the last time you did that? When was the last time? Here we go. When was the last time somebody got a promotion and you applauded publicly? But in your heart, you're like, I can't stand her. And then when you heard yourself say that, you say, God, I'm wicked. God, what's wrong with me? When's the last time you did that? You know the answer is? Probably never. You probably never done that. So here's what he says. If you don't mourn your sin, in other words, if you don't treat sin the way I would treat sin, then you will not be comforted. Here's what he says. This word, for they is in the emphatic position, which means he's bringing it up and he's saying, the ones that are comforted are only the ones who mourn. So no mourning means no comforting from God. So the text is suggesting. So the question then becomes, how are you treating the sin that have plagued you? How are you treating sin in your life? That's our whole discussion today. How are you treating? You see, the problem is many of us laugh at sin today. So you do something wrong. Many of you, thank you, Holy Spirit. I haven't said this in any other service. Many of you go, many of you enjoy and love comedy. 80% of which is laughing at sin. And you don't think it's a big deal. It's quiet in here. Praise the Lord, somebody. It's quiet. All of a sudden, a hush covered the entire auditorium. Yeah. Because we have so denigrated this issue called sin that we don't mourn over it. We laugh about it and wonder why we're not spiritually further than where we should be. Sit down if you can. Let's see if we can get through this today. Here we go. I told you, look at your neighbor and say, you should not come today. You just shouldn't. When that line in the parking lot was long today, you should turn around and gone home. I don't know why you sit in that traffic talking about, hey, we going in, we going to get a word. You going to get a word, all right. You finna get a word today. So here we go. About 3 weeks ago, I noticed an indicator light came on my dashboard. It indicated that I was losing air in my back right tire. I'm like, what's going on here? Losing air in my back right tire. So I said, okay, cool. This gun tire over here has a little lane now where you're trying to drive in, and they'll, you know, kind of fill your tire up. So I said, okay. I said, hey, Mr. Discount Tire Man, my thing says that I need some air in my tire. It don't look bad, but he says, okay, cool. And he went around and he put some air in it and he filled it up. I said, cool, thank you. And I drove off. And about 2 days later, guess what happens? The light comes on again. Man, all right. Mr. Discount Tire Man, this light come on again. It might be the sensor that's the issue. It might be the sensor, but I don't know. But fill it up again, Mr. Discount Tire Man. He says, all right. And he go, psst. And he go, whoop. And he filled it up again. Drove off. And about 4 days later, you guessed it, the light came on again. I said, no. I said to myself, I didn't tell him this. I said, no, Mr. Discount Tire Man don't know what he's doing. Because I go empty, he fills it up. I go empty, he fills it up. I'm not supposed to be regularly checking in with you like this, Mr. Discount Tire Man. So I need you to fix my problem. Mr. Discount Tire Man says, all right. You need to leave it with me. I need to do some further examination. I said, okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I said, call me when you finish. So about 15 minutes later, true story, Mr. Discount Tire Man calls me and he says, excuse me, sir, you've got an internal problem. I said, oh. So you can't just fill it up again? No, sir. You got a problem on the inside that must be addressed. He says, you just want to come by and you go flat on it and fill it up. I don't want you to depend on me like that. He says, you got a problem on the inside. You got two nails that have been lodged inside the tire, and over time, they leak air out, and in light of that, your indicator light comes on. I said, Mr. Discount Tire Man, you don't even realize what you do, but you just gave me a sermon to preach. So thank you, Mr. Discount Tire Man. I said, because Mr. Discount Tire Man, I have church people who do that. They come to church every Sunday and get filled up, and they can't even reach the parking lot. Psst. Mr. Discount Tire Man, I got people, Mr. Discount Tire Man, who come to church and they're in the line to get into church, and they, why this church always some? I need to come in and just drive in smoothly. This don't happen in the Asian church. It don't happen in the white church. It don't happen in the black church. Mr. Discount Tire Man, watch this. Mr. Discount Tire Man, I got people in my church, Mr. Discount, all they need to hear, I'm preaching up and they're getting filled. And they get a text. Psst. There's something on the inside that you don't want to address. There's something on the inside that you keep pretending as if it's not there. It's the reason why you don't have a tight connection to God. It's because there's something on the inside that needs to be fixed. That's what we want to talk about on today. My Bible said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So then we have to ask the question, what does it mean to mourn? Let me give you the definition. To mourn is to feel and express grief. To mourn. It means to be broken hearted. It means to cry and weep. Back in the Old Testament, they put on sackcloth and ashes, and everybody would know that they are weeping over their sins. But not today. Today we have become so sophisticated, I'm going to tell you what we do. There's a difference between being a sinner and making a mistake. Today, we don't call ourselves sinners. Mm-mm. That's too negative. We're a mistaker. That's why we make mistakes. Let me give you the definition from the dictionary about these two. First one, sin definition. A transgression of divine law. Sin means I did it on purpose. Sin means it was willful, it was intentional, it was wicked. That's sin. You don't like that. So you have to tell your brain you're not that bad. So that your brain cannot feel bad, so you don't feel no guilt. So now we come up with a new word. You don't call yourself this, but this is in essence, I'm going to define it for you in a minute. This is in essence what we have lowered sin to. You are now not a sinner, you're now a mistaker. Let me define mistake. Tell me if this ain't true. Here's a mistaker. Definition. Dictionary definition. Here it is. An error in action, calculation, opinion caused by poor reasoning. That just sounds better, don't it? Here we go. We start saying stuff like this. Hey, I didn't see that. I wasn't thinking straight. My bad. I didn't know any better. Oh, my gosh. We start saying stuff like this. You can't be too mad at me, can you? We say stuff like, I just took my eye off the ball for a moment. My bad. We say, here's how we justify it. Nobody's perfect. Come on, man. You know nobody ain't perfect. Or could you? Can't you just give me a break? You know why we have to do that? Here, this is so important. We have to do that because if I'm a sinner, then I'm going to need to ask for forgiveness. But if I'm a mistaker, you need to understand that that's just what happens in life sometimes. You see, if I'm a sinner, I got to deal with how wretched I am. If I'm a mistaker, then I'm cool. I can just say, but we all do that. If I'm a sinner, I need a savior. If I'm a mistaker, I'll just try harder next time. If I'm a sinner, I can say, woe is me. If I'm a mistaker, I'll just say, hey man, listen. Let he who has sinned not have sinned cast the first stone. Do you see what I'm saying? You see how we make ourselves feel better? We do it all the time. Quit tripping, you do it too. The place that this gets front and center most often is if you ever go in a courtroom. When the judge is about to give a sentence. And whoever that knucklehead was, he'd be thinking, it's not that bad a deal. And here's what, we say this all the time. That was not my intention. Anybody care about your intention? Not a soul care about your intention. You can minimize it all you want. The truth of the matter is, when that judge takes that gavel and go, boom, 40 years, the reality of life start showing up, and you'd be like, whoa, but it was just a mistake. No. It was worse than that. You need to call it what it is. And the challenge with us is we don't think it's that big a deal, and I'm here to serve notice on you. It really is that big a deal. I'm preaching to myself. It really is that. Okay, you're not feeling that. I'm skimming some money off the top of my expense report. Hey, my bad, miscalculation. No. You're bad, you're fired. See you later. No. It's not a miscalculation. You're a crook. That's what it is, but you don't want to call it that because that's too bad. Everybody does it. Tax time coming. Let me not report this income. Oh, man, I didn't see this one. Okay. Yeah. Jail. Okay, here's another one. You'll get this one. Your husband comes home and finds you with another man, and he put down his shirt. Hey, sweetie, it's just a mistake. It's not what it looks like. No, Joker. No. It's not a mistake. You can minimize it all you want. You cannot make it sound so bad all you want. But you've just done that so that you don't feel bad. But the reality is, it's a big deal. Okay, you're not feeling me. Somebody looking at me is still kind of crazy. You see, the reason why we don't get this is because we don't realize that God, the character of God, is holy. If God is holy, it means he can't handle sin. He can't stand sin. He can't be anywhere near sin. It's the reason why he weeps over sin, because he can't stand sin. If you understood the holiness of God right, then you would not handle sin the way you currently do. So then I got to figure out, how in the world do I illustrate for you how God feels about sin? And then I saw my garbage truck come around. And I said, there it is. So let me bring it up front for you. Nobody wants one of these in their dining room when they're eating dinner. Nobody. Nobody invites this into their dining room and say, hey, let's pray. Hold hands. Let's pray nobody said, let's pray before dinner today. No, you know why? Because you don't like trash. Don't open it because it stinks. You don't want this in your house. And God treats sin like you and I treat trash. I don't want to hang out with it. That's not the problem. The problem is that church people, church people walk in church. You don't know what I'm going to do. Crazy church people walk in church talking about free indeed. Thank God I'm free indeed. Do you see how you look cray cray? It gets worse. Some of you today walked in here with your sin. Some of you still shacking with somebody when you know you should be married, but you don't want to do it, and you want to minimize the sin of shacking because you just want to try it before you buy. Here's what that is. You're walking around with your garbage and expecting God to co-sign on that. But all you got to do is say, hey, Pastor, come marry us right now. Change the situation. But no, you have allowed the world to get you so used to shacking that you think it's fine. Let me get off of my shackers and let me go to somebody. Because somebody said, yes, Pastor, preaching them. Let me come down your lane. Some of you have gotten so used to hating people that you don't even realize it. So now you walk around for real. You've gotten so used to sin and you look so crazy that these days you walk around because you live in the sin. This is how you look walking around, flat out crazy. People are talking to you, hey, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored? Highly favored? Highly favored with all that junk around you? You stink. Go get clean. But we have gotten, no, seriously, this ain't no joke no more. I know it look crazy. Man, that really does look crazy up there. But we've gotten so used to it, for real, that it's now become a part of us. And we don't even realize it. And everybody around you know it. Watch this now. But you have pushed everybody that would confront you away so that you can live in your own little bubble. That's why smoking, whatever you smoke, whatever your drug of choice is second. I saw a guy the other day. This true story. This week, saw a guy the other day. It's like 15 degrees. No joke. No joke. 15 degrees. That joker outside smoking. And I'm like, Joker, you think you have a problem? You do? Oh, no, 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 no. I can stop anytime I 15 degrees, dog. You're outside. You got to get a smoke. That's how many of us are. With the sin that so easily trips us up. It's ugly. And we're living with it. And we're pretending as if it's not that bad. And what you're doing is you reek. And yet still you're walking around as if this is normal. No wonder you're not comforted. Because you don't even realize. Some of you, you'll have to punch at the walls and you'll have to do stuff because you're angry and you can't control your anger. And you've gotten so used to it that sometimes you hit your spouse and you think it's normal and then you treat it like a mistake. Hey, 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 can't you just forgive me? No, Joker, go get some help. No, go get some help, man. Come on. Let me go a little closer because those are the extreme ones that everybody likes to be like, yeah, 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 yeah. Let's get a little closer down your lane. Some of you, jealousy and the idea that somebody has more than you do and you want what they want has plagued you and you have justified it as if it's normal. And I'm telling you, it's not. It's abnormal. There's something wrong. Take the trash out. Let me go one more. Some of you think it's cool when everything you do is all about me. Everything you do is all about, you never even consider doing something for somebody else. It's you have lived your life when it's all about you. Some of you are discontent, and every year for the last 10 years, all you've been praying for is, I need a man. Okay, listen. And you don't want to realize that discontentment is a sin. You've never, ever been satisfied with Jesus. And you don't mourn your heart, that your heart, God, why does my heart want everything else but you? You don't mourn over that. You want to coddle it. And anybody that challenged you on that, you want to say to them, you're wrong, leave me alone, I can't stand you. Instead of deal with the sin that you got. Some of your husbands and your wives will never change. And you can't stand living another day because what they do tick you off so much. And instead of going to God and saying, God, you alone really do satisfy me. And I'm not going to let life be all about me. You coddle. Watch what we do now. Watch this now. We coddle the sin. And we fall in love with the sin. And we use it and say, nobody better complain about my sin. Because I love it so much. And it brings me joy when I can complain and blame everybody else except me. You do this. I do this, watch it, all the time. Let me tell you one of mine, one I've been struggling with recently. Show you how we do this. See, we're really good at this thing called mistaker versus sinner. We're really good at it. And I watch myself, I study myself sometimes. So the other day, last week, I'm watching the news. On my computer. As I'm watching the news, I got some little ads that come over on the side. And one of these little ads on the side was a girl. And to myself, I said, self, aren't you good because you don't go to naked people? You're pretty special. And I kept looking at the girl that was on the side. She had clothes on. And I thought, let me look a little longer. And I went down that path. Now listen to how my brain works. Yours does too. It's not that bad. Because it's not an XXX site. Instead of saying to myself, self, this is where it starts. And it's only a matter of time. More importantly than that, self. Heart. Why do you want to linger? That's what I had to do. So here's what I was doing without knowing it. Holding my trash and saying, ooh, I'm better than most guys. Okay, cool. Most of them jokers, they be looking at all kinds of stuff. My trash is a multicolored trash. Do you see my point? Don't laugh at my sin. That's mine. What's yours? Spirit of God, lead every person in this room today to ask, what's yours that the enemy is yours? Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. This is the truth. This is nothing but the truth. All the enemy has for most of us is he got about two sins that he trips us up with. Watch this now. Now, there's all kinds of other sins, but you're not even aware of them. Because these two are whipping your tail so much that you don't even see the self-centeredness, the conceitedness, the arrogance. You don't see none of those because the two that are in front of you have been there for 15 years. I told you you should not come to church. So the question is, you going to keep coddling it and loving it? Or are you going to say, God, trash don't belong with me. Sin don't belong with me. I need to confess it, I need to renounce it, and I need to get rid of it. That's the question you have to ask. Will you hold on to it still and treat it and belittle it? Or will you get rid of it and say, God, whenever I get here, I'm going to throw it away, I'm going to bring it to you, I'm going to confess it, and then I'm going to walk away from it. That becomes the question. Let's go to your notes before you get mad. Let me fill out some blanks for you now. Come on. Here we go. We respond to spiritual bankruptcy in one of four ways, ladies and gentlemen. Either we deny that we are spiritually crippled. That's one. Either we deny it, number two, or we admit that we are spiritual cripples. Listen, and try to change things ourselves. That's what mistakers do. Mistake, because it's not that bad, I can fix it. I can do it myself. All I got to do is try harder. What mistakers do. To every single time you're going to fail, but you think you can try harder and get it done. Number three, you admit the need and you're so despair over it that we give up completely. Most Christians live here. We give up completely and say, hey man, it's too much, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't like it, but them days of crying and all that, I'm done. I just can't help it no more. This is where many Christians live. The last one says this, we admit it or spiritual need, and then turn to God to fill that need. This is the last, this is where we're supposed to live. We admit it, God, I desperately need you. I need you every day, every moment of every day, and I'm turning to you to fill that need. Here's our three responses to sin, though. And don't forget this one. Response number one is regret. That's when we engage the mind. Man, I'm sorry I did it. Really, you're just sorry that you got caught. Man, I'm sorry I did it. That's not repentance, ladies and gentlemen. That's just, I'm sorry, I got caught. Number two, you feel bad about it. You're embarrassed about it. So now there's some remorse when it affects my mind and my heart. Man, I'm so sorry I did it. Man, I'm sorry. Number three, here's where he wants us to live. One that engages all three, the mind, the heart, and the will. Not only mentally am I cognitively aware that I've hurt the heart of God. Number two, it has broken my heart because it breaks his. And number three, I'm walking in the newness of light now. You can't stop at number one and number two, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to go to number three. And you've got to say, God, I'm going 75 north. That's where I'm not going back down. I'm going 75 north because I'm making the U-turn and I'm not going to do that again. That's where we're living. So now the question becomes, number three, turn the page over. Now the question becomes, are you going to cover it up or are you going to defend it? When sin, how should we respond to this thing called sin? Are you going to cover it? That's what many of us do. We just cover it up. That's why we don't want to be in a life group. That's why we don't have to want to tell anybody anything else. Listen. Here's the truth of and the beauty of a church. It's where people come alongside you. And my Bible says, if you confess your sins one to another, you'll be healed. You'll be healed. You ask God for forgiveness. You expose your sin for healing. Because sin loves darkness. It thrives there. And if you keep it covered and never tell anybody, then it's only a matter of time. And I'm telling you, in this church, it's okay to not be okay. But you got to be on your way to being okay. It's okay that you're not okay. But you can't say I'm not okay and love not being okay. You've got to say, by the blood and by the Jesus Christ, blood of Jesus Christ, and with the community of believers I have around me, I want to move in this direction. That's why we want every single person in here. Everyone. So we want it in a community group. Because we get it. You cannot get to your full redemptive potential unless you have other people fighting for you. You cannot be a healthy Christian unless you're living with other people in community and they are loving you and you're loving them and you're confessing your sins one to another. That's why they need to know. That's why when Jada teaches, when I teach, that's why I tell you all my stuff. I need to tell you all my stuff. You know why? So that you will know, so that you can ask me, how are you doing with your eyes today? That's supposed to be the case. Because I'm not perfect, just like you ain't perfect. And I don't want to build a wall for you, like, hey, put him on a pedestal, because I put them pants on just like you, and I struggle just like you. And I need some people who will kick me in the rear and tell me, Joker, that was wrong. You need to confess your sins. Everybody needs it. And if you don't have a friend like that, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time before you go. You know what? I had a good friend of mine, dear friend of mine, who I went to this event. I still was in seminary, and they asked me to do this talk. It was a big talk, really big talk, at the West End off of 635 and the Tollway. And all the big dogs were there. Everyone, anybody that you ever read, they were there. They're all there. And this little muck from Jamaica, they asked him to come and be at that table too. So I'm at his front table, and you got the big, big wigs. I mean, all the greats in Christianity. Why the heck am I there? I don't know. But anyways, they called me and they said they wanted me to do a little talk. So I did a little talk, and everybody was all impressed. And everybody's coming around. Hey, good job, young man. Good job, young man. And I promise you, as God is my witness, this is me. And a friend of mine, you better have a friend like this, came to me. I'll never forget this because this is how I get at me yesterday. He came to me and he said, hey, come here. I said, no, I got to meet all of you. I mean, it's time to hobnob. Come on, we got to hobnob. He said, no. He says, come here. And he just took me outside. I said, where are we going? He said, I got a surprise for you. I said, dude, so you want me to leave my car here? Yeah, leave your car. Come, just come with me. So I said, okay, cool. And he drove me straight down to Dallas Seminary. There's a little statue at Dallas Seminary, and it has Jesus washing Peter's feet. And he says, I want you to look at that. And he says, if you ever let that stuff get to you, you will miss the point of ministry. And he said, listen, fool. He did. My friends call me fool. He said, fool, listen. That's what ministry is all about. And don't you ever get it twisted. And he says, if you're not a servant of every person that God allows across your path, you have missed the point. It is not about anybody God wants you to meet. You will meet him. Your job is to stay doggone it humble and watch what God will do. Listen, if you don't have friends like that, I'm just telling you right now. If you don't have friends like that you invite into your life to tell you when you're acting a plumb fool, then you are going to end up in extraordinary pain. It's just a matter of time. Keep living, my daddy would say. Keep living. Here's why. Because we desperately need real friends that will remind us as to why we do what we do. Can I get a witness, somebody? Can I get a witness? I'm telling you. Here we go. Here's the question you ask yourself. Hey, when do you mourn over what you have done in the past? Do you mourn over that? People you've hurt? Do you mourn over it? When you acted a fool, many of y'all in college, plumb a fool. Just be grateful ain't nobody showing that on the big screen today. You'd be so embarrassed. Plumb fool. I'm telling you. Well, you know what? Because we've done some. Have you ever mourned over that? Next one. Have you ever mourned about what you're currently doing? The stuff you're doing right now that you just know is garbage. And yet we still get caught up. Have you ever mourned over that? Have you gotten so used to it that you don't even think it's wrong anymore? Here's the last one. Do you mourn over the sins of others? Do you mourn over that? The sins of other people. This last week. 9,000 people came to our church. Last week. I mean, all kinds of, another weekend. This last Wednesday. Prayer. Just Jesus. 600 people showed up. Thursday night, Jade and I are at home, and I'm saying, Jay, what the heck have we created, man? You mean to tell me when you're teaching, when I'm teaching, when Pastor Eric's teaching, everybody wants to come to church? But when the audience is just Jesus, are you, what the heck have we, this is not your fault. We created this. This is our fault. And I'm like, what? No more, man. Come on. You mean to tell me that on a Wednesday night, when we say we're putting God first, 9,000 people, 600, that's it? Oh, we're doing something wrong. But I promise you, we're finna fix it in the name of Jesus. Because if you think, listen, here's what God said to Gideon. You just need 300, dog. You got 300. We can turn this whole thing upside down. Do not be fooled by the 9,000. I told the church on Wednesday night, I said, this is the real church right here. No, I know many of you had different reasons why, and all of them were legitimate. That's fine. My point is, you need to know that that's my fault because we created this environment. And this environment told us this last week that what's important is we come to church when it's convenient, not when it's not. It's not your fault. We created it. It really is ours because we have allowed it and created it and done nothing about it. I need you to know. That breaks our hearts. It does. Because we're saying we can't create an environment where people don't love to run to God when there is no Jada teaching, when there is no Conway teaching, there is no Pastor Eric teaching. Is he the only one on stage? Who shows up for that? And you're not at the same, you don't get nothing from it except you run into Jesus. Jesus! That's all you get. 600. I promise you, we're doing something about it. I promise. Just read my lips. We're doing something about that. Last Wednesday in this month, pure prayer. Nothing else. You don't have to come. You know why? Because we cannot raise a generation of Christians that only believe it. If I don't get something personal that I perceive personal out of it, I'm not showing up. We're hurting you and we're hurting your kids if we continue on that path. Because you don't just come for what you can get. It's not why you come. But I'm for real when I say this. We created this. By we, I mean me. And we're going to fix it. That's all right, everybody? All right, come on. Let's go to the next one. Here we go. I don't need your applause, but I keep that. But I promise you, we're going to fix it. Oh, we're going to fix it. I promise you, take that to the bank. We're working on it already. You might not like it, but we're going to fix it. Anyways, come on, let's go. Turn the back of the page. Number one, how God blesses those who mourn. Here we go. Number one, God draws close to us. How does God bless those who mourn? He's going to, God brings us close to himself. That's what he's going to do. He says, here's what I'm going to do. If you mourn, because you're thinking like I'm thinking about the thing I hate, then I'm going to draw you close. I'm going to pull you in closer. He says, number two, I'm going to grieve with you. Number two, he says, I'm going to grieve with those who grieve. That's number two. And he says, that's what I'm going to do, man. I promise you. If you grieve and weep over sin, which is how I view sin, that's why twice in the Bible, God says, here's what I'm doing. Listen to this. God says, here's what I'm doing. I saw a sheep without shepherd, and he wept because he saw what people should be, and that's not who they were becoming, and he wept over it. What's the last thing? What are you weeping over? God says, if that's you, I'm going to grieve with you. You know, the beautiful thing about it is the other day, my daughter had a soiled diaper. Now, here's what I did not do with her soiled diaper. I didn't take it off and just put another one on. I didn't do that. Because she'd still be walking around with a stinky bottom. So you know what I had to do? I took off the dirty diaper. Then I had to clean her up. Then I had to sprinkle some powder. Then I put on the new diaper. Can I tell you what God wants to do for you when you stop mourning your sin? He says, hey, man, come on here, over here. Let me clean your diaper up. And then let me sprinkle some more grace and some more mercy all over you. And then let me put you back together again so you can go represent me well. God's not just going to take it off and slap a new one on. It's not who he is. He's going to come to your aid and comfort you. The reason why the baby is yelling, because she's mourning over the mess that she's in. What we got is too many Christians, instead of mourning over the mess that you're in, you're laughing about it. The reason you're crying out is because you're in need of a Savior to come and help you and clean you up so that we can then walk in cleanness and in holiness again. Number three, he says, that's why you need a church. The reason you need a church family to support you is because you need people around you to help you along the path so that stuff you can't even see yet, they can reveal it to you. Too many of us are walking around and we can't even see our own issue. By the way, whenever you focus on somebody else's issue for a long time, but I can't believe he does, I can't believe she does, I can't believe they do, I can't believe it. Just ask somebody and say, hey, what's my issue? What's my issue in this scenario? Because you always have one, always. And if year after year you focus on what they're not doing, I'm telling you, God's saying to you, then maybe you should just run back to me and leave them alone. Let me deal with them and you deal with your own heart why that bothers you so much and why I can't satisfy you. And you need this to be fixed before you can be satisfied. Preach, Pastor. Why do you need that to be fixed so bad that Jesus ain't enough for you? And let him deal with that when he deals with that over time. And you need the family to tell you that sometimes. Number four. Here's what number four says. He's going to use it when you mourn to help us grow. Let me show you over here now. Here we go. He's going to use it to help us grow. Help us, Jesus. So it's the last day. No, you can't eat no more meat. I'm just showing you this. You can't eat this today. This is a really good-looking piece of meat right here. You can't eat it today. But I'm going to show you. There are three ways to tenderize meat. Three ways, say the word with me, to tenderize meat. Three ways, only three. Three, 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 three. Way number one is you season it. You get your seasons out, and you start just laying it on there real good, and you start seasoning the meat. Beautiful. Oh, yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And then you get another seasoning out, and you just laying it all on there, because what you're trying to do is get a sensitive heart and a tender heart so it can do what you want done. So you go to the next one, and all you're trying to do is to, watch this. Yeah, now we're cooking. Now, all you're doing when you do this is you're trying to get some seasoning. Oh, that's a little too much right there. You can tell. You can tell. I ain't all that good at cooking. Let's not do no more. And this is one way. This is one way for real. This is one way that you tenderize meat. Now, God says, I want your heart to be tender. The only way your heart can be tender is if you cling to the cross. It really is, because it is at the cross that you realize how much you need Jesus. It's at the cross that you realize how wicked you were, that he had to die so that he can take your place on him. So if you're clinging to the cross, it means now you're saying, God, I know they have offended me, but I can forgive them because I'm clinging to the cross, because you have forgiven me. Everything you do, you're going to do it, and you see yourself saying, God, you did this for me. I can do it for them. Now you're not at the center of your life anymore. Jesus is. That's what he wants. But many of us don't want to cling to the cross. So then he has to up the ante. And he's got to take something like this out. Since your heart is so hard, you got to get to work. And he does it. He starts out real soft. Hey, man, come on. I got to tenderize your heart. And by the way, a hard heart means you hear the word every Sunday, but you just don't do nothing about it. That's what a hard heart means. So he's got to tell you, hearing too much word, and you go home, you turn on TV. You go home, you listen to somebody's podcast. And God's saying, your heart ain't right, so I got to tenderize it. So then he starts pushing somebody. And some of you still don't respond when he's trying to do it gently. So then he got to get a little, put a little muscle in it. Then he's got to start allowing you to go through a little bit of pain. Stuff flying all over the place. Your kid's getting hurt because you're such a knucklehead. And he start weighing into you because he's trying to tenderize your heart. But that still don't work sometimes. I did all of this in the Saturday service, and then a real chef came up to me and said, oh, no, there's a third way. I said, what you talking about? He said, yeah, there's a third way. She says, what I want you to do is go home next time after the fast and put it in the oven. Don't put it at 300. Put it at about 200. Put it on the middle grill in your oven and let it stay for about 10 hours. She said, by the time you come back, if you pick the meat up, it will all come right off in your hand. God has a third option. He'll put you in a heated situation. I said, girl, you finna let me preach this. You're put in a heated situation, and he'll just let you stay there. And you're like, God, I want to get out! I want to get out! I want to get out! Until all of a sudden, now you're pliable. Because you've fought your way the whole time, and you have nothing else to give but depend on Jesus. No, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go that far. You can just respond to seasoning. Cling to the cross. That's all you got to do. You don't need all that. Just respond to the cross and say, Jesus, I get it. It's all about you. When I see sin, I deal with sin. But no, not some of or head too tough. So then he has to get the mouth and go, whoop, whoop, whoop. And then even that don't work for some of y'all. You know, like them kids. You ever met them kids? Some of you are all some of them. Your mama said, I'm feeling spank you. I ain't crying. What? No, don't laugh. That's what you do to God sometimes. I don't care. I feel living this sin. I don't care. I feel do what I do. And then he has to go to the extreme. Okay. Living it. Simmer. And then you just turn the heat up. 200. And then walk away. You'll come calling me in a minute. Let me chill. And because there's going to come a time when the he's all you got. So you got to call out to him. Ladies and gentlemen, blessed are those who mourn. Because those are the guys that's going to be comforted. The last one says this. The last one says, God uses our pain to help others. Here's all this means is this. Listen. Your pain is going to become your story, and you're going to be the poster child of how somebody gets delivered from the sin that you struggle with. That's the beauty of it. Do you realize what he did with Paul? Listen, Paul the apostle, he said, hey, do you know, I don't know that man. Do you know, I don't know him at all. Little girl, come on. I said, I don't blink and know him. I'm not making this in the Bible. I'm making it. Do you realize what Jesus did after that? One week later, here's the key to it all. 1 week later, he's going to give him the whole church, but here's the key to it all. After the third time, the Bible says, Peter, he's done this for me for the last 3 years. I couldn't even represent him well. What's wrong with me? And he wept over his sin. When was the last time you did that? Here's what Jesus then did. He cooked a meal for him. Hey, Peter, here goes some fish and some french fries. Hang out a little bit. And then he said, after he gave him some fish and food, he says, hey, Peter, I want you to be the leader of this whole thing. Jesus, the dude just done failed you. He didn't even represent you well a week earlier. But Jesus knew heart and the tenderness of the man's heart. That's why when he broke down and cried, it was the indication. Here's a man after God's own heart. He can represent me well. My question for you is, all right, cool. What's Jesus saying to you today? Father, thanks for the opportunity to represent you. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will know the issue that you're asking them to represent, to deal with today. The sin, the trash, the garbage that you're asking them to deal with them today. God, will you serve notice on every last one of us, including me, including our musicians, including our worship leaders, including our ministers, every last one of us. But we got to deal with the issue and not laugh at it, not cuddle it, but deal with it. Will you help us to do that? God, I pray that we'll cling to the cross so we don't have to deal with the mallet nor the oven. Will you help us to do that, God? You're so caring and loving. Look what you did for Peter. You'd want to do it for us too. We open ourselves to you and we're saying, here's the trash, take it. Forgive us for it. Cleanse us from it. We're not going to settle with regret. We're not going to settle with remorse. We're going all the way to repentance. Have thine own way now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Come on, give God a round of applause, everybody. Yeah.